Hello, I'm Chris Barrow with the BBC News. Thousands of protesters have gathered outside Israel's parliament in Jerusalem ahead of the next crucial stage in the passage of the government's controversial planned overhaul of the judiciary. If passed, it would widely constrain the Supreme Court's capacity to overrule laws and government decisions. Despite months of mass protests, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government remains adamant that the reforms are needed to curb judicial overreach. Opponents insist they will open the door to abuses of power. Here's Sebastian Usher.
This is now the 29th week of these protests against the planned judicial overhaul. So the momentum has been really building up. And this is very much because this is a crunch moment now. The Knesset is due to begin a debate on Sunday, which will lead to the final votes on Monday, the second and third vote for the first bill.
In an unfortunate twist of timing, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealed in an overnight video message that he was about to undergo cardiac surgery to implant a pacemaker.
A week ago, I was fitted with a device. That device beeped this evening, which means that I have to receive a pacemaker. And the doctors will do this tonight. I feel great, but I must listen to them. In any case, the doctors said that I will be free later this afternoon, discharged from the hospital, and will be able to go to vote in the Knesset.
The Justice Minister, Yariv Levin, was to serve as acting Prime Minister while Mr Netanyahu was in surgery. Voting is underway in a general election in Cambodia that the incumbent Prime Minister, Hun Sen, is certain to win. The main opposition party has been banned and many of its leaders jailed or forced into exile. To ensure the highest possible turnout when people are being offered no real choice, the government has criminalised any attempts to boycott the election or spoil the ballot papers. Here's Jonathan Head.
While this election is in many ways completely predictable, it is not inconsequential. Hun Sen is preparing for this once-in-a-generation handover to his eldest son, Hun Manet. These preparations have been in place for a long time. But while he's been very successful at neutralising his opponents outside the party, his own party, the Cambodian People's Party, is factionalised. There are very powerful groups in there. And what he wants is a very impressive turnout in this election to show that he is still respected by the people.
The governor of the Odessa region in Ukraine says one person has been killed and 15 wounded in Russian airstrikes on the port. Two loud explosions had been reported in the latest of the near-nightly attacks that have followed Moscow's announcement last week that it would not be renewing a grain export deal. Odessa is Ukraine's biggest port. This is the World News from the BBC. Firefighters in Greece are continuing to battle dozens of blazes across the country, with the worst of the fires on the island of Rhodes. More than 3,000 people have been evacuated from holiday resorts in the east of the island, where the wildfires have devastated forests and swept down almost to the seafront. The BBC's Warren Muggleton was one of those who had to move.
We got the alert on our phone, the emergency alert, at about 11:30 our time. And then we were on a bus midnight. We got on the bus with this red glow over the top of the hills where you could see the fires and you could see that glow and you could sense it was close. But with the operation by everybody, was able to get everyone away from Lindos, away from Pefki, which were the areas which are in danger, on that southeast coast of the island, in towards Falaraki.
Officials in Canada say the heaviest rains to hit the Atlantic region in 40 years have triggered floods that have left thousands of homes without electricity. Police reported that four people were missing, including two children who were in a car that was submerged. The Premier of Nova Scotia said 25 centimetres of rain had fallen in less than 24 hours. Thousands of Iraqis have joined demonstrations in Baghdad sparked by the burning or damaging of the Quran during recent anti-Islam protests in Sweden and Denmark. Saturday's rallies were called by Iraqi parties and armed groups, many of them close to Iran. Several Muslim-majority states have expressed fury over the desecrations of the Quran in the two Scandinavian nations, which both allow the holy book's burning under legal protections for freedom of speech. Police in Mexico have detained a man in connection with an arson attack on a bar in the northern state of Sonora that killed 11 people and injured several more. Authorities in the city of San Luis Rio Colorado said a drunk young man had allegedly thrown a flaming object into the building after earlier being ejected for harassing several women. That's the latest BBC News.